Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello? Who's that?
Huh?
Who's that?
Huh?
Oh, it's the internet. Thank God it's you. Okay. What? You probably want to listen to a podcast? Well, here we go. Welcome to season 86, episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. And y'all already know it's a podcast where we take a deep look into America's weird old fucked up brain and say off the rip, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Controversial, Miles.
I know.
Wow.
I know. It's Monday, June 10th, 2019. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Here comes the hot stepper, murderer. I'm the Daily Zeitgeister, murderer. Excuse me, Mr. Officer, murderer. Please don't harass me because I'm black, murderer. I had to just kind of edit the last part. When I said, excuse me, Mr. Officer, it didn't feel right to say still living Miles Gray. Please stop harassing me. I'm not on probation. No, I don't have a gun, which is what the first question they always ask you. And also, why are you in this part of town? Because I live here. Okay, bye. That AKA comes from Sabrina Mancuso. Ask Sabrina Mancuso.
Ooh, good name.
Good Italian name. Sabrina Mancuso. Hey, I love you. You know, where are you from? Let me know. Oh, wait. Italian, Argentinian, fluent in Franglish and Span-Italian. Just looking at her bio. I'm looking at her bio.
People's bios on there.
I just had to right now. She has an Italian flag, an Argentinian flag, and a Canadian flag. Oh, Canada.
I like when you're like enjoying someone's Twitter profile and then you go and then the bio is like Wanderlust.
Right.
Hufflepuff.
Like Hufflepuff.
There's a short circuit. My blood pressure bursts out of my body.
That if you're you like a Starbucks, like struggling Starbucks addict.
In recovery,
I'm doing well. Join me on my journey. And I'm sure you already recognize that voice because Jack, right. He is on assignment right now, still looking for, he found the Crocs he was looking for, but now there's some Tevas, he said, that there was a collab with Coors Light Tevas that he was looking for.
He just sends these walls of text, and I'm like, I can be there.
Yeah,
it's
just
fine.
Like, send up the bat signal.
Continue on your journey.
Thank you so much.
Mr. O'Brien.
Well, that is my guest co-host, you already know. The one and only, the legendary Yami Loftus, Jamie Loftus.
AKA Big Little Loftus?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I figured I'd try it out. Okay, here comes the
song. Or you mean
though.
Really, a.k.a.
What? Oh.
Oh.
She's back till 10. Justin Comedy. She must confess. Zamboni.
Zamboni.
Dentist sneezing into hacking lies. Takes all the time.
Ooh.
Third guest, Jamie on Zeitgeist. So there you go.
Wow. Dropped a fucking bomb on that one.
Thank you. Went all the way up into my nasal passages for that one. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Whew. Okay.
I'm blessed. Also, you had a little bit of range there. I was not ready for that.
Thank you. I had a solo in eighth grade.
Oh, shit. Well.
And don't you forget it.
I will never, ever forget.
That was from Taylor Lang at Listen to Blazer.
Listen to Blazer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine, I'll read her bio. Let's see what it is. Multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter, terrible dancer. Love it.
Oh, great.
You know what? I accept it.
As long as you know what you're good at and what you're not so good at.
If it's devoid of wanderlust, I'm open.
Well, we are joined. It's an honor to be joined by just a legendary, hilarious person, comedian,
yes.
writer, podcaster, with a podcast that, you know...
A legendary podcast, dare
way,
I say.
Way better than ours.
Come on.
It's Jack's favorite podcast,
Jack's
and he's really
favorite
mad he's
podcast,
not here.
And you know what? That's just how the universe works sometimes.
Yeah.
Please, please welcome our guest today, Mr. Matt Rogers.
Wow. Hi.
Hi.
Truly, how are you guys?
Very good.
It seems like you guys are good. The energy is crack-a-lacking.
Yeah, we'd like to do it like that.
All and three honestly, of us have cold brew crack.
We all do, and I look forward to, in the next 10, 15 minutes, this getting to be like too much.
Yes. Good,
because,
good.
And can we talk about these? I don't want to say the brand. I don't want to put anyone on blast.
No, we do.
We say the brand?
We say brands
okay,
here.
So this is Kirkland Signature Cold Brew Coffee. We're drinking 100% Colombian, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's shocking to the first taste. It's just not but I know it's going to work. It's really strong.
What were you expecting?
I'm feeling it.
I don't know. And I don't ever know what I expect when I start drinking cold brew.
Right.
But I know what's going to happen every time is I will become a killing machine a la Scarlett Johansson and Lucy.
Oh,
like,
shit.
You know how like in that movie she used like 100% of her brain?
Yeah.
That is me when I'm on cold brew. But like using 100% of my brain means I'm like even more aggressively like a gay dumb idiot. But like it's
well, I'm
going
to check
fine.
In with you from time to time
no,
to
no,
see
no.
how much your brain. So
well,
what are we at right
you
now? You're
see.
At 2% brain function right
well,
now?
I'm, let's say I'm at like a 14%.
Oh, shit,
I think
okay.
it's about
wow.
to kick in. Also, I want to just say your resonance when you were singing mm-hmm. was really huge. That was amazing. That was great.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Really envious of you right now because my voice sounds like a frog a log because last night I was at the Troy Sivan Charlie XCX concert screaming,
yes.
screaming, 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 screaming.
Where was that?
It was at the Wiltern.
Ooh.
Wow.
And the last time I had been at the Wiltern, I saw the Countess Luann
mm-hmm.
oh.
from Real Housewives of New York.
Money can't buy you class.
And it can't.
There.
No. Love that song, though.
You can't say she doesn't speak truth.
Who has the best song of all the Housewives?
Mm.
Did you like Kim's,
well,
Kim's track?
I would see... I wasn't that down for Kim's track. I think that it's actually an unfair comparison because Erica Jane is like a real pop star.
Yeah.
So,
well, no, I think Erica, we have to.
She's done.
She's
count.
How many fucks do there, I give?
Yeah.
And I am obsessed
song.
With
That's
that.
That's such yeah. a good song.
That's a real banger. Though.
There are, she has so many bangers, but I will say Chic, C'est la vie, c'est bon.
Yeah.
By mm-hmm. the Countess Luann is, and when it played at the Wiltern, and I'm telling you, it was like Bon Jovi was playing like Living on a Prayer.
Wow.
It was truly like the place exploded. We were like, Chic, c'est la vie. Everyone, like every 45-year-old woman and gay 20-year-old their twink.
Was it her? Was it her show?
It was her. It was, well, the show is called The Countess and Friends.
Okay.
So, you know, she brings out her friends.
Yeah.
And didn't know any of them. Right. So, and you know who's done her show? Catherine Cohen.
No way.
Has opened for her. And so it's like,
that's
Friends
so
is very loose. I think they've had a half a conversation.
That's a good fit though.
Very
that's
good
amazing.
Fit.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better.
Get to know me.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. Right now you said 14% brain function right
well,
now?
Well, I'm now at 17.
Oh shit, okay.
What happened was we said Countess Luann and my blood started running quicker.
Yeah.
So now the cold brew is running
getting
through my
your
veins.
System. Oh, yeah.
But I'll update you guys. I'll update
it.
You guys.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about what we're gonna get into. First of all, Jamba Juice, new look, new you.
Yes.
We'll get into that, what that entails. Not that much. But, you know, I like to keep my eye on these brands.
You really? Yeah, I mean, you insisted on this one.
Yeah, because I only go to, you know, dining establishments that are available anywhere in the United States.
Yeah. Right.
So I never feel alone.
I hate small
business. If I can't get it off of, you know, a shopping mall in Barstow,
then I'm not fucking with it.
You know where I electric scootered last night after the concert?
Wait, what brand of scooter?
I don't know. I had never done this before. We found it on the show.
You're like, I don't know. I just pushed somebody off.
I was with my friend. I killed someone last night with a scooter. I was with my friend Jared, and after the concert, we were hungry, and he like found these electric scooters. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Right.
It's not a thing in New York, but you can electric scooter everywhere in LA, I guess. And we electric scootered to Denny's at 1 a.m.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And this morning, I found my first 2 gray hairs, which I think is the universe saying, okay, bitch.
It connected.
Stop.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be electric scootering to Denny's at 1 a.m.
At 1 a.m. Yeah.
We're not 14.
Oh, God. I used to work near, like, a college, and I would get hit by electric scooters all the time. Gentle bump.
Oh.
Gentle bump, really. No complaints. I like it.
Oh, you didn't just, like, clothesline somebody after?
No.
Dude, watch where the fuck you going.
It's just 19-year-olds late to their midterms.
Those scooters in New York will get you. I feel like the people in New York would just kill you.
No, forget it. It shouldn't happen. We also shouldn't have City Bike, but that's a whole traffic lane thing.
Yeah. Ugh. Get it together, de Blasio.
Don't get me started.
Get fixed the MTA first.
Yeah, de Blasio running for president. It's like our city is melting.
Right. Every person in New York's like, why the fuck is he going to run for president? He can't even get the fucking city together.
It is the funniest thing. And also when they announced on The View like that he was like running for president, they couldn't even do the segment because they were laughing too hard. Everyone in the audience was like, are you fucking kidding? It was so funny.
We're also going to talk about some tales of just Democrat fucking up shit. Not in the good way type stories. Like, come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Democratic leadership. What the fuck are y'all doing?
Exhausting.
Checking in with Barbara Streisand and her clone dogs. Because it's always a fun story.
This is the story.
A story that Jamie specifically wanted to discuss because you were on, Matt, about this Jezebel list of terrible actors. Are they or aren't they?
I'm so excited to get into this.
Oh, yeah. This is the perfect guest.
And then a little bit of update on the poor, unfortunate soul who decided to lean across Beyonce's lap and got the fucking hive. But first, Matt, what's something from your search history that reveals a little bit about who you are?
So I just mentioned The View. That is because I watch The View every day. So I don't really do Google search history as much as I go to my YouTube and I kind of refresh it to see what their recommendations for me are. And it's always like what's happened on The View that day. And also like this is insane, but construction progress on theme park attractions.
Oh, I get theme park attraction stuff too. I'm very into roller coaster YouTube.
Oh, can you tell people somebody tweet at you? I remember someone tweeted at you and said, what's that channel that you watch to fall asleep to? Tell people right now.
I watch Defunctland.
I love Defunctland.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, I love it.
I'm so embarrassed to admit it, but I think everyone watches it.
No, we're in a community together.
Okay, good.
And I would say that everyone should come out. Everyone needs to come out of the closet.
What is Defunctland?
So basically it's like it's like a series, a video channel that looks at like old theme park attractions.
Okay.
And it gets into the history of them and then it kind of just like talks about how they were developed and why they didn't work or like what the story is with them.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like you know what old theme park attraction I'm obsessed with?
Which one?
It's called Alien Encounter. It was in the Magic Kingdom in Tomorrowland.
Yes.
So this was like and you can really go down a rabbit hole about this particular theme park attraction. Oh, this is insane that I'm getting into this, but it was a terrifying experience in Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom, which is very much a park for children. But they made a risk and they were like, we want to do a scary thing. And so they were going to make a theme park attraction based on the movie Alien.
The fucking movie Alien they made a ride after?
Yes, because Disney was attached to it. And so they ended up sort of doing it and they realized, no, this is going to be way too scary. So they kind of made like an alternate version of it, which no one knew, but was the most terrifying thing ever. It's got a pre-show that has Tyra Banks, which is my favorite thing about it. And then you basically go into this circular room and they put a restraint on you. And the ride, it's like a show really, but you're strapped into a chair.
Oh my God.
And so what they claim that they're going to do is they're going to show you like a teleportation. They're going to like beam in someone from another galaxy into the space.
And it's a fucking alien.
And it's the thing that goes awry is it's a vicious alien. And then they do that sort of sensory stuff where you can feel it breathing on your neck and sliming on you.
It's terrifying.
Literally someone dies in it and blood sprays. And this is in the Magic Kingdom.
Wow.
So this was an attraction in the 90s and they eventually shut it down because of guest complaints. But it's like a beloved
theme park attraction in for a certain type of person
yeah.
who like is gagged that they ever would do that.
Right.
But
right.
I believe Defunctland did a series
they did.
On it.
Yeah, I'm like waiting. I'm waiting for them to make a video about the Aerosmith roller coaster.
Absolutely.
Because I like.
Well, that still stands.
Yes.
Where is that?
I love the
Hollywood
Aerosmith.
Studios.
I love it. It's such a good Damn. Roller coaster.
See, I haven't been to any of those Orlando theme parks.
You must go because they have been revolutionized in the past 10 years.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you go there and they are. It's just like you can't believe. First of all, the production value, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
it is
mama.
A show.
It is. You are thoroughly entertained, and you must go see the Harry Potter stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm in.
Oh wait, I've got a season pass, Miles, so I can get discounted passes if you ever want to come.
Wow.
Are you gonna
weird flex? But okay.
Are you gonna go to Galaxy's Edge?
Yes.
So that's current events as well.
Yeah.
Galaxy's Edge is now open.
I'm trying to restrain myself because I will spend $7,000 in there. Just
I mean,
off the strength of everything.
I'll go to theme parks that I don't care about the IP it's based on. Like, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I really want to go to
like
Galaxy's
immersive
Edge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for me, that's good. Like a full fever dream because I'm like a theme park person and a Star Wars person.
Oh my God.
So I'm like really freaking out. And also, this ride that they're going to open later in the year called Rise of the Resistance is apparently like out of control.
I started reading the first half of the description and I had to stop because I'm like, okay, this is already pushing the boundaries of what a ride is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also don't want to spoil it for myself because I know if I'm actually experiencing it firsthand, I probably will just faint.
Well, it's allegedly almost 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's more than one style of ride.
Yes. You change vehicles.
I'm so
which has never been
I didn't
done.
Know yeah. that. That's yeah. amazing.
Did you hear about the Kylo Ren animatronic?
No.
No.
Wow. Like a full Adam Driver?
Like,
no. I know. That's
it is
why I
an
stopped.
Adam Driver that is going to come all the way up to you, honey.
No.
And try to kill you.
Oh, fuck that.
And there are life-size AT-ATs.
Right.
The
second
that
I read.
Adam Driver has been immortalized in this way.
Right.
It's insane, and it doesn't make sense.
I saw.
The first time we ever saw him, he like came on Lena Dunham, and now he is the Star Wars villain.
He is. It's so. I watched. We're doing an episode on today, and I was like, oh, he was in fucking that movie too, in Fedora the whole time. And you're just like, 5 years later.
Right.
He literally rose to fame as the weirdest fuckboy in Brooklyn. And now he is the villain of Star Wars. He is in a Disney attraction forever.
I look forward to a very thoughtful essay on that one day.
Listen, I might write it today.
Yeah.
If I keep drinking this cold brew.
I know. I'm at
36% right now.
Oh,
so
shit.
You're going to fucking not even, you're not even going to understand the book I write. It's going to be too smart. It's going to be a genius essay on.
Galaxy brain.
Yes.
Matt, what's something that's underrated?
Okay, what's underrated is the new Katy Perry song, Never Really Over.
Okay.
Because it is everywhere anyway for me. It is an earworm, but it is not the number one song in the country, and that is why it's underrated. I'm telling you, I couldn't have thought someone was more dead in this town than Katy Perry. Like, her going to American Idol was so sad, and I was just like, that's crazy that you can be truly Katy Perry, biggest pop star in the world, and then like, whatever happened with that last album, Witness.
Right.
Like, that was like it was like what everyone goes through in eighth grade happened with her and her pop star life. You know what I mean? It was like that awkward phase.
Oh, is that the album that has Swish, Swish, Bitch?
Swish, which actually is a bop.
That was a good
me.
One. Yeah, I fuck with that one.
And I actually fuck with Bon Appetit, too.
Bon Appetit, baby.
Me go! Katy Perry!
I kind of fuck with both those songs, but the rest of the album is ridiculous. But this song is...
I like it.
It is phenomenal. And the second part of the chorus where it's like, just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over it. I was just like, this is the next level. The video's great. She looks great. I'm like, wow, back from the dead.
I feel like there's like a lot of like former pop queens that are getting creamed right now. Like the new Taylor Swift single Underperformed, which I hated that song.
I really don't like it.
It's too broad.
That's what it is.
Too fucking broad. I'm like, what is genre? What the fuck is he doing?
It's like a step back where she's done it before.
Yeah.
Brendan Urie doesn't belong there. I just whatever.
Okay. Wow.
I actually think Everyone's if it was only Brendan Urie, then I would like it more.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, no one can beat Old Town Road is the thing.
Yeah,
it's a novelty hit of
because
a generation.
It's also like the new Baby Shark because little kids are fucking with it so hard
that
too.
The
video of them bopping along.
You can even tell his mind was when he's like, oh,
this is
fuck.
Crazy. Yeah. It's like, let it go.
Right. Yeah.
Bull Riders and Boobies.
I mean, that's
baby.
Really, I think that's like the sweet spot. If you just want to own the fucking charts, it's like, it's something that just sort of straddles all these sort of age demographics too, because the lyrics aren't like too complex or fucked up that you wouldn't feel bad playing it for your kid. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Billy Ray Cyrus version, because you know some shit talking about Fendi sports bras. But yeah, man, fuck.
Fendi sports bras. You're just like, Jesus Christ. I'm like,
all right. It's in your so Lamborghini crazy sports bra.
To watch kids sing some of these songs. Yeah. And then you realize that was us too. Like, what were we, 14, singing Dirty by Christina Aguilera, being like little sluts? Like,
I was like breaking my back in my backyard while Dirty was on. Like, my mother was like, okay, that's what we have.
We're calling the chiropractor.
Something's
wrong with your spine.
I remember being 7, and like when I was 7, I would tie a literal bandana around my torso and be like, "It's a shirt."
Yeah.
And my mom would be like you know, her brain would fall out. But
and we're all wondering as to why the world is broken.
And I'm just like, why isn't my body like that anymore? I used to be able to tie a bandana,
and I could go to lunch.
What's something you think is overrated?
Okay. So still on the theme of music, like I look at the charts and I assume I'm going to see Never Really Over like at number one because everyone I know has listened to it on repeat. I myself have only listened to it, no other music. But then I see that Billie Eilish is still on top of the charts, and then I realized how huge Billie Eilish is, and this is kind of like when I realized I'm a little bit older now, like I'm not like liking what the kids are liking.
Right.
It's this kind – Billie Eilish herself is not overrated. I think that what Billie Eilish represents in terms of this kind of sleepy, spooky pop star, I'm over it. And I think the reason I like the Katy Perry song so much is because it's like emotional.
Right.
I miss like big emotion in songs. I miss feeling something when I listen to pop music. Like truly I miss the days when there were big ass ballads on the radio. I miss My Heart Will Go On being overplayed.
Yes.
Like genuinely, like I just want to listen to music because the point of music is that music heightens the emotions. And I don't know if it says something about where our country is at.
Right.
That we all want to feel dead.
Yeah.
But like I just hope that, you know, with hopefully like political, social, and cultural changes going forward.
Yeah.
We speak that into the atmosphere, knock on wood, that we kind of go back to like feeling.
Yeah, you know what
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's that attitude, like sort of the sleepy kind of thing. Like I don't dislike Camila Cabello, but she is this kind of like I'm asleep thing.
Yeah.
Like Ariana Grande is kind of doing it now, but she's so like sort of manic that she is emotional in some of her songs.
She sounds at least awake,
yeah.
Right. I just miss like, you know, getting it.
Do you think she's an industry plant too?
Ariana?
No, Billy.
Oh, Billy. Because
everyone's like, where the fuck does she come from?
Last year I was on something on Super Deluxe with her. Like it's like
She's blown.
She is like come out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, which is fine. Like she had a big she has a big following for a while, but I don't know. Yeah, I feel like there is some sort of like. And this is like no reflection on her politics. I'm sure she's not pro-Trump, but like a Trumpian pop star of just like a pop star for dystopia feels
like
the vibe.
Right.
I also, me and Anna were talking about yesterday how, she makes us feel old.
She makes me feel old as fuck too because for the first time, I'm like, she's the kind of vibe if like I saw her in a food court with her friends at the mall, I'd be like, see, this is what's wrong with these kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
I would be like, I don't want to sit near them.
I'd be just like, who are her, where are her parents?
Yeah. Where are her parents? And why
what's she wearing?
She was
are
born,
you an extra from Tank Girl?
She was
what
born
is this?
3 months after 9/11. We were just like,
that
who was
is,
born
that
after
says
9/11?
A lot.
She was born 3 months after 9/11.
After. Post.
Listen, I know.
Get out.
I
she
know.
Is post 9/11.
You can't be yet.
Billie Eilish's post is a post 9/11 thing.
Post Malone featuring post
9/11. Post 9/11.
But also, like, imagine only knowing a world where that has happened.
It's why. I mean, we're going to have to get used to it
because
they're like adults.
They're
now.
Coming.
It's weird.
Yeah, and I feel bad for like the Gen Z kids because they look up to millennials who, like, we're dead inside. So then they think this, are they doing the version where we're kind of have this nihilism in our generation?
Right,
where, like,
right.
It's trickling down to them and they're doing their version, like, okay, so they're sort of like, dead.
There's
to
a lot
a certain
of
extent.
The thing is, like, Billie Eilish's music, I like it.
I think she's talented.
She's super talented.
Yeah, nothing against the music.
The music is good. The I don't quite understand the image, and I'm hoping it just ends up being an industry plant. And it's not that I'm
old.
Well,
but there is that wave though, and I see it a lot. Like I know people in the game too right now who are doing this like emo gutter kid vibe. When it's like you grew up fine. Like
that's the thing.
Also, like
thing
this isn't
it's
you.
It's crusty punkish.
It's an aesthetic. You just put this. Uniform on.
Billie Eilish is like a well-off white girl and
always
has been.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, not that negs any, but it just, I don't know, it feels planty.
Hey, do whatever you want. Rock your big ass jeans and chains and shit. Look like a raver I used to make fun of when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's got the JNCOs, yeah. Basically. Right.
I do think there is something positive about someone who is not, clearly not sexualized by the industry, being this powerful. I think that there is a lot to that. And I think I'm happy to see that. But it feels like an extreme in the other direction where I'm like, ooh, okay, what's...
Or their research has led them to, like, actually kids aren't really responding to the sex thing anymore.
Yeah.
They want, like, weird...
Oh. Because we don't fuck anymore. That's like a thing. It's like we're not like, I think we might be the last generation that's like sex is something that really is prioritized in.
The last horny generation.
No. Yeah. It's like, well, how many retweets I get?
Yeah.
That's my ED medication.
That is so crazy. Like people get hornier looking at their computers now than they do each other.
Exactly.
Because they look at their computer and they think, oh, I get off because of that, because of porn or whatever. Like honestly, retweets.
Yeah.
You look at your cell phone, you get a fucking chub.
You're like,
I feel that way.
Yeah. You're like, damn, 800 likes in 14 minutes.
No, okay. It's a very real thing. We are very sad.
Ooh. Preach on.
We're sad.
And Mr. Matt.
We need on the chart.
What is a what's a myth? What's something people get wrong that you're like, no, I need to hip y'all to the truth?
Okay, so guess what?
Mm.
Might have misunderstood the assignment.
Okay.
I wrote down Bloody Mary.
Okay, wow.
That if you go in to the bathroom, close the door, and shut the lights,
yes.
If you say Bloody Mary three times, she won't come. That bitch isn't
Hold on. Well, that's a fucking hot ass take,
no,
man.
She's not coming.
I have a lot of sleepovers that would indicate. Otherwise,
do you have a lot of dead friends?
There is, yeah. All my friends are dead.
Push me to the
edge.
Isn't that
It's like that's a song that's a basically the Billie Eilish album.
Oh, yeah, are you talking about Lil Uzi Vert?
I was just saying
I don't really care being crying. Yeah. All my friends are dead. Push me to the edge.
That one?
No, I wasn't talking about that one. I was talking about, but I know the one you're talking about.
Oh, my bad.
I think that
I'm always just trying to get Lil Uzi Vert in here all the time.
All my friends are dead. That's like pulled from like a shitty like novelty book at Urban Outfitters, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, just the line isn't very original as prose. Yeah. All my friends are dead.
Sorry, Bloody Mary.
Well, I'm sorry. Really are all your friends dead?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you say about that, Matt?
I can't source that. I don't
also,
know.
Also, can I check in?
Be lying.
What's your brain capacity at right now? What
are we operating on? I'm at a full 24.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Yeah, we're shooting up. We're shooting up. I'm incredibly smart right now because of this cold brew from Kirkland Signature. But this is what I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. The story goes, if you go in there and execute this saying of the name three times and the door is shut, you look in the mirror, etc., she will come kill you or she will come spook you?
I don't know.
I just thought she showed up. I didn't know if there was
a guaranteed
kill. Well, what does
she do? I think that it's...
What does she do? What's your goal here?
Like, are you a murderer? I think the whole thing is unclear. I think that we need to really get down to brass tacks about what it is to expect when we do this. And I was thinking, like... Literally, I was like, well, maybe we should just do it. One of us should go in the bathroom, shut the door, and do that. But then I was like, literally thought of doing it, and I was too scared. I won't do it.
So is it real? Then,
and I don't want either of you to do it.
Well,
I would never do it alone, ever. Ever.
Really?
Well, I think that, and that's another thing, is it's like, if you go in there with someone else, will she come? Or because she knows she's going to be outnumbered.
Right. Oh.
But this is also existing in a world where she's like an omnipresent thing, like, sorry, God, where she's always watching and knows there are more people than her in the bathroom.
God,
I don't know.
See, I think that the only, if I would only do it alone, and I would like, if I like had a knife, which is,
how
I would
stab
end up,
a ghost.
Though? I would end up stabbing
that's
myself.
That's the thing. You can't, how do you kill a up, ghost? How do you
that's
kill
the thing.
Dead?
Famously, ghosts are already dead. And what? You can't kill them.
Exactly.
It's one of the well, things about them.
We should start a new podcast.
Stand it.
It's like Serial, but we get to the bottom of this Bloody Mary nonsense.
Honestly, I'm happy I brought it up, and I'm happy I misunderstood the
what answer. Is your sorry, goal, yeah. Bloody Mary? Come face me, you coward.
They were like, we need to
debate me.
Debate me, coward.
Come in here and disprove a myth. And I was like, Bloody Mary.
Yes.
Not like a cultural myth. Like,
top myths.
Well, do you know what else I thought, which has already been debunked? Do you know the myth that is if you douche with a Coke bottle, you won't get pregnant?
I've never heard that. What?
No.
I heard a myth, and this has been debunked on another television show that I watched in middle school, which is how I remember this. It's one of those things that like you watch at one time during a formative age and you never forget it.
Right,
meanwhile,
right.
I can't remember truly anyone's name that I met yesterday. But it said that after you have sex, if you have sex and something happens, like you have a little oopsie where, you know, or the condom breaks or you just raw dog it.
Or someone shoots up the club,
Yeah, absolutely. So you can douche with a Coke bottle and the caffeine will kill the sperm and you don't get pregnant.
Wow.
And women apparently were doing this.
Coke never ceases to come up with incredible marketing tactics.
See,
it's a cure-all for everything.
This is like a guerrilla marketing tactic where they're not necessarily putting it on billboards, but they are whispering into people's ears. It is in our pop music subliminally.
Right.
Yes.
Douche with a Coke bottle. That's why Billie Eilish exists.
If you play her music backwards,
it's all it is.
It's like, it's like Helter Skelter, but it's douche with a Coke bottle.
All right, we're going to go check on this Bloody Mary myth real quick in the bathroom. Yes, we're going to have to, but first let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Wow.
All right.
And guess what? We fucked Bloody Mary right up.
Yeah.
We killed her. She's done. You don't have to worry about her at home.
Yeah. Don't worry. She's done.
She's fun.
And we got to the bottom of it.
But
she,
can I say
she just wanted to be understood.
Beautiful. She was beautiful.
Oh my gosh. She was gorgeous. She looked like Gwyneth Paltrow.
She literally, she looked like one of those, what's that skin company where your face looks wet?
Glossier?
Glossier.
She looked like Glossier.
Yeah, she looked so glossy.
She went to Dr. Obagi.
Like yeah. Yeah. She had good work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She had that good work, like that JLo work.
Yes.
Yes. She had that work where you know that she sat her person down and was like, here's $50 million. Do whatever. Don't.
I want the Demi Moore glow up when I came back.
I need the Demi Moore. So guess this. One time I met her and I called her Demi Moore and she said, it's Demi.
Fuck.
And I've never been so...
You turned to Obi-Wan Kenobi. You just turned to a pile of clothes that just vanished, like whoosh.
I hit the ground.
Where did he go?
I became a ghost like Bloody Mary. That's the reveal of this episode.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So let's get into a little bit of politics. Just because, you know, there were two stories that that came out at the end of last week that were just so telling and indicative of the potential disaster that the leadership of the Democratic Party is guiding us towards. They're not all that surprising. Well, I guess first is a story about Nancy Lock 'em Up Pelosi. And there was an article in Politico that basically said she got in a little bit of a back and forth with Jerry Nadler, who's the head of the House Judiciary Committee, who's been like begging her to be like, let me impeach this man now. Mm-hmm. And from the article, it says, we'll hear all this, okay? Nadler pressed Pelosi to allow his committee to launch an impeachment inquiry against Trump, the second such request he's made in recent weeks, only to be rebuffed by the California Democrat and other senior leaders. Pelosi stood firm, reiterating that she isn't open to the idea of impeaching Trump at this time. Quote, I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison. End quote. Pelosi said, according to multiple Democratic sources familiar with the meeting. Instead of impeachment, Pelosi still prefers to see Trump defeated at the ballot box and then prosecuted for his alleged crimes, according to the sources. Mm-hmm. Come the fuck on.
Okay.
You think you are going, I mean, it sounds good. It's the kind of thing that if you were impatient about impeachment, you heard, oh shit, oh, because she wants to lock him up. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe that'll buy you a little more time. But again, I don't believe that she has any interest of being like, I want to put him behind bars.
No, because there's no like plan behind it. I feel like everything to do with like the way politicians are like branding themselves now, where like after Nancy Pelosi became an accidental meme lord, mm-hmm. now she's like trying to build her brand with her little clappy clap. Yeah. Like now she's just trying to build a whole brand around that. And it's like, unlike, you know, some people, it's like there's no plan. She's just saying it for, you know, for the clicks, baby.
Right. Or even just, why don't you support an investigation?
Right.
But even then, you know, there's some level that I've said that there's the reporting is that the calculus for Democrats is, well, we don't want to go hastily into impeachment and then have like just a fucking joke trial in the Senate where Mitch McConnell will be like,
yeah,
my shit gills are getting in the way. And just fucking punt the thing and then it's done. Right. And then they can rah-rah into 2020 like, they tried it and this is why we have to rally around our president.
Which is, I have to say, I do think that would happen. And I'm of a different opinion of this than you guys. I actually am a Pelosi fan. I think that I find her to be very kind of calculated, and I worry about what happens if we go to impeach him despite him deserving it. The world just works in a way that I don't think is fair, obviously, right, as we've seen. So I'm nervous about shooting our shot and missing, because I do think that all that they will do if we shoot our shot and miss, and how can you possibly trust the Senate right now to carry this through with what we've seen, that it then becomes a narrative of it's just political what they're trying to do. And with public support currently not being on the side of let's impeach him.
It's like a little over 40%.
Right. So without a majority, I feel like, are we just allowing them that narrative?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I understand, but I'm also of the opinion where it's like, we impeach him, and then even in best case scenario, he's fucking out of there. We have President Pence for the rest of the term. No fucking thank you.
Worse, yeah.
I think either way,
I want him out too.
They have to show some kind of backbone against this, because
I totally agree.
Because, I mean, on one hand, I do understand the strategy, because, mm-hmm. yeah, politics isn't a very straightforward thing, and so many people have all this kind of disinformation, misinformation coming at them,
yeah.
that no one is actually operating from level ground in terms of just the general public looking at this.
Right.
But there's a part of it, too, that is very demoralizing, I think, for groups that are marginalized and are facing the greatest of existential threats from this administration, mm-hmm. that you need to show them something that mm-hmm. is like, we get that this is a threat to black and brown people,
yes.
or queer people or whoever, then like this is very serious. And the optics of it right now just feels like, just not yet. And other people are like, we don't have, like, I don't, we can't just keep letting this shit rock right now. And I get to, because it could backfire. It totally could. And I'm not totally ignorant of those risks, but I think there's a way to thread this needle a little bit better where you can do other things that will continue to drag out as much as possible the bad shit that's done. Because the thing that she has said is that the arguments that she has are there's certain conditions that have to be met for the impeachment to go off. It's that public support, it needs strong public support and really strong bipartisan backing.
Yes.
The latter will not
it
fucking happen.
It will never happen.
There's no way. The thing that worries me, like sort of going off what you were saying, Matt, is like the spin that is possible on this. I mean, even after watching how the Mueller report was viewed publicly, I feel like the conservatives were able to spin that in their favor very easily because unless you're willing to like or have the time to read every single deep dive and understand the nuances, which most people don't, and rightfully so, like it was easy to spin that, which there was more concrete like discussion points for still to their favor. So I'm like, how could this go better?
I also think there's a culture around the word impeachment. And I also think there's a lot of remembrance of the last impeachment, which of course was
right.
Clinton. And I think what people remember about that and something that is something to think about and consider is the length of that process.
Sure.
The redirection of public thought and like focus to that process. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I genuinely think you have to let people hang themselves, and he continues to do that. It isn't working, but I think that we are so far from where we were in 2016. I really think that the midterms, which I give Pelosi a lot of credit for, will show that we are going to be really strong in 2020. I really hope if we get behind the right candidate, I'm personally all in for Elizabeth Warren, but the thing is like – I trust us to make this right. All he needs is a word. And if he says like they tried to impeach me like the way he leaned on emails and it doesn't work, it's like all people need is one word. I don't know. It makes me nervous to get into a situation where we shoot our shot and lose, because the worst thing that can happen is we have four more years of him after 2020. Well,
absolutely.
And then people are really in danger.
I think when we look at the people though that are going to be swayed, right? There's a certain group of people who, no matter how impeachment goes, they're all in for Trump.
Of course.
And
what's that, like 33%?
Yeah. And there's another group that's mostly like Democrats who might not be enthusiastic about impeachment, but if when presented with a binary choice between Trump or fuck out of here, they're going to do the right thing.
Yes.
So I don't, you know, I think a lot of people think of like these swing voters who, I don't know how they've quite identified them in their minds, who are the people that are going to be completely put off by a failed impeachment.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, there has to be a way that, you know, just in terms of the way the government is set up, that this co-equal branch actually functions, because this person is blatantly breaking the law.
Yes, absolutely.
And then it's such a fucking terrible precedent. But
I totally agree with you.
There is something to, and I will read, there was David Ferris who in the week wrote just sort of how he suspects what the strategy is for Pelosi, because it's not, she has come out and said, look, I'm not saying here, I don't know what the fuck we're doing. She's like, my plan is just that it's not impeachment right now.
Yes, that's,
sure. But what is this? Like, what's going on? Can we need to begin seeing some kind of movement here? Because yeah, it's true. The president can say something, but he says dumb shit all the time and the needle doesn't move much.
Yeah.
But what he was saying in this piece in the week was, rather than beginning impeachment proceedings tomorrow, Democrats should take the next year to continue investigating and litigating to obtain the documents and testimony they need. Then they should summon the House from its regularly scheduled summer recess in 2020 to launch official impeachment hearings that would culminate during the Republican National Convention at the end of August 2020. Instead of proceeding to a vote after both sides have presented their cases, as would be customary in normal times, Speaker Pelosi could make up some smirking Mitch McConnell nonsense about how Democrats need to think about this for a really, really long time. Then, in the most devastating move possible, she would recall her caucus either the Friday or Monday before the November election to officially vote to impeach the president. Members can fly in and out of D.C. for the roll call vote and be back in their districts by midday. Good night and good luck. President Trump would lose his mind. A sitting president is never blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So that's sort of like the soap opera version.
Which I gag for.
Yeah. and I think is possible. Could be a little bit of wishful thinking, but like, you know, she's... There are times when, like, she's talked about, like, George Bush's behavior, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Like, where are you exactly, Nancy? Like, I don't – that's where – the words and their ideas on a general level, I'm like, I get the logic, but I'm not, the action hasn't quite added up to make me not very nervous.
I like her brand, and I just there's certain things that it's like I would like to see more plan, more thought put into.
Sure. Well, let me give you another. If that wasn't enough to shake your confidence in the leadership, let's talk about Chuck Schumer, okay? Because whoo boy, there's a new book coming out from The Intercept's Ryan Grimm. And, you know, of course, every journalist in D.C. has a fucking book coming out.
Yeah, because why and they've not? All got a spooky title.
Yeah.
It's the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. His book is like, I don't even, the what title's so long.
Scary,
it's like so many.
Scary Times.
It's like,
at White
I think
House
it's
High.
Like the equivalent of like Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire or something like that. I think it's called, no, it's what it's called is We've Got People from Jesse Jackson to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, The End of Big Money and the Rise of a Movement.
Long title.
Very long title. But
Fiona Apple album.
In his book, though, he talks very specifically about the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation process and how that was basically completely fucking bungled by the Democrats. Like behind closed doors, there was a lot happening that we did not know about. If true, fuck out of here. So first, the whole thing was people weren't sure what the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford would do for his confirmation. And a lot of people are like, what's going on? Like, I know it's definitely a long shot because we're outnumbered in the Senate. And his sort of first thing was like, we have no power in this situation. We have no power. But if you remember in that one weekend where a few activists pulled up to Jeff Flake, it started getting him a little bit shaky. Lisa Murkowski seemed like she could have been on the fence too. Susan Collins was also another one.
One of the most devastating things to watch was that Susan Collins speech. Ugh. It was just like watching a
fucking embarrassment.
Yeah, like watching a dog die.
Yeah, and again, it seemed like, oh shit, there might be something here. Yeah. Because like between her testimony and some other activists, there was like, wait, there might be a fucking way. Then, but this is what Grimm's reporting says, that when Democrats gathered on September 27th, shortly after Blasey Ford's gripping testimony, Schumer advised his caucus to do nothing. Quote, there was no way, he said, that Kavanaugh could survive. That meant that the smartest Democratic move at this moment was to not get in the way. Don't do anything, he told Judiciary Committee members. That could screw this up and give Republicans some way to paint Kavanaugh as the victim. Stand down.
I don't know.
They did that anyway.
Yeah.
I'm questioning the reporting of this because that doesn't feel like what happened. I feel like the Senate Judiciary Committee, like in terms of the Democrats, I feel like they did what they needed to do.
They did, but I think there were outside groups, right, who were talking about coming after other Democrats who weren't coming, like, being aggressive enough and things like that. So it was sort of just generally a note of, like, we just need to let this cook. Like, we don't need to begin fully grandstanding about what we just saw. Like, let the public take what they saw and let the outrage build naturally or something.
Like, I think that there's a lot of, like, lead by example shit to be said there. Like, I don't know. Letting it cook seems like a dangerous thing because otherwise the internet will just take over and that's dangerous.
But I also feel like, did they just let it cook? I mean, they came for him pretty hard. And I mean, I loved Kamala in that. I'm not a Cory Booker. I'm not a huge fan, but I thought he did well. I mean, like, that was the first time I ever really kind of noticed Klobuchar. Like, I thought that they all kind of like, and maybe there was some grandstanding on the part of those people because they knew what they'd be doing in several months from that time. But and so they were kind of like, you know, I'm going to make my own decision about what to do here. But it didn't seem to me like there was any reservation on the part of the Democrats on that committee. Like, it just didn't.
No, not that there wasn't in the hearing. It was then outside of that, too, and just getting everyone to be like, if they wanted to throw the full force of the party to fuck this up, we would have noticed. Like, there were definitely very vocal people within the party. I think, in general, holding his feet to the fire a little bit more, talking about like what was going on with like that testimony and making more of a point out of like just his outburst that he had during it.
Yeah.
It was just sort of a lot of people were like, well, you know,
he was emotional.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly, it's hard to even like reflect on that period of media coverage and the way that the Senate reacted around it because it was just so much. I can't picture anything more. It was so
that's
much.
Like I think what I'm rubbing on with this is it's like I felt like the outrage was at a fever pitch from everyone,
from people, from the public.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't hear much from Schumer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of people were like, well, that's not like, I don't know if that's how we want our Supreme Court justice. It's not like this guy is a potentially a fucking sex crim.
Yeah.
The fuck are we talking about here? It was just more like, well, you know, it's a very diplomatic talk around it. It wasn't like the kind of shit where they could have hammered it. And again, I don't know exactly like what that might have actually done, because, mm-hmm. again, we were counting on three fucking losers to find their soul.
Who you found out were never going to
were spineless, just amoebas. Yeah. But it is what it is. But the other thing that's really interesting, too, is that he also writes about, you know, Christine Blasey Ford first sent a letter to her congressperson, who then gave it to Dianne Feinstein.
Yes.
And where people were like, how long did you have that letter for? Like,
no, I remember about it now.
So in his writing in The New Yorker, they say that, you know, that Feinstein wasn't too interested in the letter because she said, I think we can hit him more on legal problems than personal problems. That was, and then after this article was printed, her spokesperson came out and said, they pushed back on that. They're like, that's not it. However, and then he also writes that a more cynical reading of this was that it could have been that she needed conservative votes in her election against Kevin DeLeon in November in the midterms.
Sure.
And she didn't want to be, you know, rah-rah, full charge against the conservative pick because she needed to strike that balance or she could have lost her Senate bid.
I mean, there's no question that she's extremely out of touch. So at very least, it was like a very dated reading of how the public would react to something like that. But I mean, the thing with De Leon, I mean, that makes a lot of sense because there was so much.
You got like 44% of the vote.
Yeah, I mean, I like voted for him, and once I learned what his platform was, like, and why wouldn't you?
I mean, all you had to do was see. I mean, Dianne Feinstein is like, for a California Democrat, way too conservative.
Right. I mean, she feels like a product of like 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. Of pre 9/11 world, not post 9/11.
Pre eyelash.
The crazy thing about Dianne Feinstein is she's a Gen Xer.
Right.
And so, can we really trust her takes on anything?
Yeah. She was actually in Hackers.
She was standing right beside Lillard the whole movie.
This is insane. Dianne Feinstein is Ginger Spice.
Wow.
Like one of those horrible clickbait
Think
articles.
Think about it. Yeah.
This Spice Ginger
Girl
Spice?
Became
what
senator?
Like now.
And I will click.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Because I have a melted brain.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay.
To something
it felt like we were underwater for a second. I was like, wow, just going back to that period of time, like, just to put it, like, one more thing on the Feinstein thing with that letter, I remember her being directly asked about that during the hearings. They turned to her and they're like, how long did you have this letter? And at that time, I was kind of like, why are we talking about this? Like, this woman was assaulted. Like, it doesn't matter how long she had it. But then it's like, when you think about the politics of it all, it's just like, oh my God, this is so fucking exhausting.
Right. Yeah.
Or like, that she can hang on to that. And then, like, the woman could be put through that. It's just like, ugh.
Well, the thing was, she was like, well, I did it out of respect to her. But clearly,
Christine
Blasey Ford wrote that because she's like, something has to be done about this.
For help.
I will do, I will
it to
speak
be private.
Up.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's why the logic that the Feinstein camp puts up doesn't quite add up.
It doesn't hold water.
And that's why you're like, and also, imagine if she did come out with it the second she got it. There would have been a lot more time for this story to evolve a little bit to put pressure on him as a pick.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, but look, we live in a world of what ifs. You know, what if Billie Eilish was born before 9/11?
Yeah, Miles, we honestly, live in a society.
She's in a sundress.
And that's we live in
Thank
a society.
You.
I
we mean, live in the society on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No. What is it?
Some show. People are just like, it's like Lord of the Flies with frats or some shit.
Wait, which show?
I watched Always
the Society?
Be My Maybe.
Oh, no, I don't know.
I just watched Always Be My Maybe because I need to feel good.
Yeah,
Did
yeah.
you like it?
I thought it was fun.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
It's fun.
Yeah,
I love a rom-com.
I mean, look, I love Keanu Reeves doing comedy. That's all you need.
I know.
Well,
yeah.
If you want to see Keanu Reeves do comedy, baby, John Wick 3 is out now.
Hey. Oh my gosh, wait, I have a question.
It is so good.
I have a Zeitgang question because I've gotten a few people have tweeted this at me that I look like a ballerina who tears her toenail off in John Wick 3, and I want to know what her name is.
I have no idea what her name is, but that scene was gripping.
Someone help me figure out what this woman's name is. I want to figure out if it's
Zeit Gang. Get
nice
on it now.
Mean
get
to
on
me.
It, Zeit Gang.
And compare the feet to Jamie's WikiFeet page to make sure.
Yes.
And
yes.
Don't be uploading compare that photo. Don't upload that photo to Jamie's WikiFeet page because that'll fucking tank her score unless people like nasty blown off toenail pics.
There's, I mean, right now, let me just check in really quick.
What's your WikiFeet score?
I'm still at 5 stars, beautiful.
Oh, hell yeah.
And some new uploads to the page since I last checked. All
beautiful. All right, what about Barbara Streisand? Hard left turn.
What about her? Okay, so.
You were like, can we talk about this? Yes.
Anna found the story, and I mean, I love an older lady cloning her dogs. I just love it. They're Babs. If you missed this, I'm pretty sure.
Are y'all familiar?
We're really good friends.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with, I think she literally wrote a New York Times op-ed piece about why she cloned her dead dog.
Mm-hmm.
But she really just like peak older Caucasian women. And she was really like, she was very upset when her dog Samantha died, Sammy. And so in.
Sammy Sweetheart.
Sammy Sweetheart.
Dear Sam, that night at bed.
We saw, as we read.
Between the waitresses.
Every morning in prayer.
That's our Our Father.
That's our.
is the note from Snooki.
Wow.
But she was so broken up. This is from a Jezebel piece. So broken up after the 2017 death of her beloved Sammy that she sent some of Sammy's cells to a lab in Texas to make two more Sammys. And she posted to Instagram just yesterday, a picture of three dogs, two who are Sammy's clones, one who is a cousin, which I don't know what that means.
Oh, my God. I think that's a B-grade clone.
But there's a gorgeous picture of the two clone dogs on top of Sammy's grave, which has a photo of Sammy on it. Paying their respects. The caption reads, "The twins, Scarlet and Violet, honoring their mom with cousin Fanny in the center." And I just think that this is a very sweet and wholesome thing. And when you're a bajillionaire, sure, clone your dead dog. Now, I understand. I would clone Sunny in a second. I would create an army of Sunnies.
I've talked in the past about when I was lobbying, we had a client who had a clone dog. It was at the forefront of dog cloning technology.
How expensive is that?
Well, my man's was doing it in the late 90s and has I'm pretty sure his work in the dog cloning world had helped even Barbara Streisand do this type of shit. Because I think for Barbara, it's like $50,000 a dog.
That's less than
chump
I would
change.
Think. Yeah, that's truly.
She'll be like, cook up like 40 of them.
Yeah.
Put them on
They're
ice.
They're only $50,000? Give me an army.
Yeah. Well, wait, so for like $100,000, can I get a bigger one?
Yeah.
Like double the size? Can you make it monster?
Can the dog be smarter than me?
Yeah.
The first time
and use 100% of its brain. Check in. How much of your brain are you using?
Oh, 56.
Okay, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can
It's crazy. Like, and, like a little bit before the Dianne Feinstein thing, I was at 64.
Wow.
And then because I was underwater.
That you need more oxygen.
Yeah,
I truly, like that, my head hurts a little from thinking about it too hard, which is why we have to talk about Barbara Streisand's dogs. The first thing I ever heard, and I'm curious if Zeit Gang's also, I'm a big Errol Morris fan. I love his work. And my first Errol Morris documentary was called Tabloid, which is about a woman. It's a very bizarre story about a woman who may or may not have kidnapped a Mormon man and made him her sex prisoner in the 70s. And it's so good. And then flash forward like 30 years, she is like one of the first people to get her dog cloned.
Oh, shit.
And so it is a great documentary. It's very funny and weird, and I haven't seen it in a while, but it seems just like old ladies with with expendable income can just sort of like get their dogs cloned.
Yeah, well, it's a flex, you know.
I think it's a good flex. I mean, I think like okay,
you're
so
like I never have to grieve because I can just pop open another one.
It's crazy.
My dog is one, right? Mm-hmm. My dog is he's a young man, so I'm like. That gives me, like, if things go well and he doesn't get – something horrible doesn't happen.
Right. You got eight years.
I've got a while to, like, that's how much time I have to make enough money to get him cloned when he dies.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it like this, if you save $1,000 a month and you put it away in your clone fund, you'd have –
I can't even see a dentist, Miles. Where am I going to get $1,000?
That's a lot of money.
Patreon.
It's complicated. Ooh, Patreon.
Hello. Fucking talking about. I'm gonna start another Patreon.
The money is in the Patreon.
The Sunny Memorial Fund.
This
started now.
In advance.
In advance. Please be part of my journey to get over his death and clone him.
He's a disaster.
I heard though with her clone dogs, the thing that she's really upset about is that they don't behave like the dog because you have the physical form of the clone,
right.
But All the nurturing the and stuff is different.
Yeah.
And
she ever see Clone High? Like, that's not how it works.
Well, I don't think so. But I apparently a lot of training goes into the dogs acting like the clone when really it could have just been nurtured. Like, I don't think she did the work of, like, being near the dogs enough.
No, she just wants a dead dog.
Anyway.
I have to reveal something.
Yes.
I may know the person who trains her dogs.
Matt, how? Oh, my God.
Friend of a friend.
I know someone who has the same dog trainer. Yeah. Which is where I heard this.
Yes. And what is going on? I haven't seen much, but I've seen a photo of those dogs together. And when you picked up that video, I was like, oh my God, I've seen those dogs. Like, and I know that they live a lavish life.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't she have like a little like mini McDonald's and shit in her basement?
Does
she has a shopping mall.
Right. Shopping mall in her basement. Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Do you, Babs? All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Yeah. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Now, we have a story that you are so excited. Everyone
Man,
is
psychotic.
Electric.
The second you were, I was like, oh, we get to talk about the list.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Okay. So,
this is the most insane thing. What was the publication that did this?
It was Jezebel.
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 Every other story in Jezebel, you're like, come on. But this, I think, as a former clickbait writer myself, this is a masterwork
of clickbait.
Jezebel published yesterday, one of their culture editors, Clover Hope, published a piece called Actors Who Are Bad at Acting. It is a masterwork of clickbait because she offers in this list no explanation
None.
For why.
Just a list.
She just presented without comment.
So if this was Twitter, you'd be like, just ratio this shit, fam.
This is both the most insane and genius thing anyone's ever done because, like you said, it is a masterwork of clickbait.
Yeah.
But it's also nothing. It is nothing.
I have to hand it to her. Like, I just,
it's alchemy.
People on Twitter were like, I can't believe they're doing this for clicks. I'm like, honestly, you're talking about it. She got you.
Anna, yeah. Honestly, Clover Hope is now, unfortunately, a household name.
It's, I know.
Like, yep. Writers who aren't good at writing.
I'd like,
not for nothing, but she fucking wrote a list.
Yeah.
She made a list. Look. She leads
hey,
it.
Hey, man, that's my girlfriend, man. She,
the identity of Her Majesty.
Her Majesty's been revealed.
No, I stand by saying that because if she can fucking put that out there, she can deal with me saying it about her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I have read none of her work, which means I've done as much research as she did in her piece.
There you go.
The list is all over the place, and which I don't know how intentionally that was done. There's some of her takes, if you can call it that, then I'm like, yeah, sure. Others made people very upset. So I'll just go through the list.
And should we say whether they're good or
yeah,
not?
As
I think we should just,
I
yeah.
think the triumvirate here should.
We're going to weigh in, and it's going to be a 2 out of 3.
It's like, yeah. you know,
for
you,
everyone, and definitively.
It's, and it's like, Clover Hope, you know what? We'll just say it now. You win. We're talking about your dumbass 100% story.
100%. And it, look,
I
if,
respect
if
it.
There needs to be debate, we can have a small moment for debate, because I'm not familiar with everyone's entire body of work, so there could be a sleeper movie where they did have a good performance, but I guess
there's some I'm on the fence about.
Okay. I'm confident saying I know everyone's ov.
Okay,
on
great.
This list.
Brie Larson off the rip.
So, okay, so let's get started. Brie Larson.
She's a good actress.
I think she's good.
I don't know enough. What was
well, 2 out of 3.
I didn't see Captain Marvel.
Here's my take on Brie Larson.
But I don't.
Great actress, not a star.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Which
I think
is
that's what it
she's
is.
Great.
I'm just not familiar with her work enough. Okay, I like that.
She's an Oscar winner.
Jennifer Lawrence.
She's
yeah.
a great actress.
I think she's fine.
I think she's fine.
I don't think she's bad. Michael B. Jordan.
It would be insane to say Jennifer Lawrence is not a good actress. Michael B. Jordan, I actually don't love as much as everyone else.
I think he's talented.
I can't say he's a bad actor by
I'm
any
so,
means.
I'm so on him. He was a maybe for me.
I think star, not necessarily the best actor, but a star.
Yeah.
But a
that makes sense.
Oh, got you. So his star power outweighs Brie. His acting power.
For me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nick Cage.
Nope.
I think he's good.
He's not good. He is fun to watch. He's not a good actor.
But I think that is part of being a good actor. And also that means star, but maybe not good actor. But
what would you say of Keanu Reeves then?
I would say star.
I would say, yeah. I mean, I don't think right. anyone's making the argument that Keanu Reeves is actually a really good actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just saying he's a presence.
Yeah. Okay, I'm a Nick Cage is not a good actor, but I can't say that it's not fun to watch. So
I'm willing
what do
to
we
go along
that?
With you. Nick Cage is not good.
That's
like, would you trust him like to play like a part that like was a character you really love?
I would never cast him
for anything.
No.
What would you? I would cast him as like. Washed up actor who like wasted his money.
I think it depends.
That's
yeah,
just
it depends
him.
On like the serious role he's in of whether he will
ashamed Coppola yeah. family member.
I think
had to change his name.
I think I'd cast him as Nick Cage.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
I'd
yeah,
love for him
seems
to play
like
himself.
What people do, Jeff.
Like how yes. Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, just became JCVD.
Bury that.
You know what I mean?
There you
okay,
go.
John Travolta.
I would be willing to say he's bad. But
I think star. For sure.
Yes.
And I think talented performer.
Yes.
Performer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
he
is
dance,
famously
you know I mean?
Different
yeah.
from being an actor as being a performer.
Yep. Right. So I think it sounds like he's not a good actor, what we're saying. Because we're giving people compliments. We're doing the thing we're like, well, not that, but this. We could just say Full Throat. Hey, as an actor, we're going straight up off the acting. Sorry, my man.
I'll give it to Clover yeah. Hope on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Kristen Stewart.
Mm.
Depends. I think... good film actress when you need something done that's very internal.
I just feel like any...
wow.
So generous and specific. I just feel
you can't
like...
tell her performance outwardly.
Not a performer at all, but an
no.
actress,
I
would say.
I think she's probably a good actress, but even when she's doing a great job, I'm still like not wanting to really watch her.
Okay.
Never but, my first choice.
Yeah. yeah. But I think she's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's not a bad actor.
No.
Okay,
no.
What about Daniel Radcliffe?
I
love Daniel Radcliffe.
I think he's
a good actor.
I think he's, I feel like no matter what, he's like done more, like he's done so many more interesting things than he ever would have needed to in his entire life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give it to him and say,
I'm
going
to give
good.
It to him. I've only seen one Harry Potter movie, but I saw Swiss Army Man where he is a farting
he's
corpse. That was tight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also, he was, I was already about to say that. And he's also amazing in extras. His comedic chops in that. the timing was right when he was hitting on homegirl.
What's the movie again?
Helen Mirren, right?
Helen Mirren.
There, I mean, I like.
No, who is he? No.
Was it? What's he? Say the movie again?
Extras.
It's the Ricky Gervais comedy.
Yes.
And he kept being like, you know, I can smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. Everyone that gets on that show was good. Kate Winslet was fucking amazing in that show.
Well, either way, I think that Harry Potter getting a second life as a character actor is really great and cool. And I
like
think
it.
He's good.
And Miracle Workers is good.
Miracle Workers was really good.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler. I feel like everyone's going to say Punch Drunk Love, and I just am not willing to. I don't know. I think he can be good, but the harm outweighs the good. I'm willing to call him bad.
I would say good because we can't forget that, you know, he's iconic. Like, you can say what you want about him, but the thing is, like, he is fucking iconic, and that is, but also, again, that's performance and being a star. I don't know. Give him Shakespeare. I don't know. But also, how are we defining being a quote-unquote good actor?
Clover? See, and this is why the list fucks your head so bad.
This is why Clover is killing us slowly.
Clover,
like Clover Hope culture.
God. I'm going to say good actor. There you go.
I'm going to say good actor.
All right.
I think just based off, you know, Punch Drunk Love, I was very surprised when that came out. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, bizarre. Also, like, you know what's psycho? Spanglish.
I know. Yeah. Spanglish is fucked up in so many ways, but I think that Adam Sandler turns in a solid performance.
Turns in a solid performance.
What about Gwyneth Paltrow?
This offends me that she's on the list.
Ooh. Wow.
I'm offended. Because I actually believe that her performance in Shakespeare in Love is phenomenal and that she deserved the Oscar over Cate Blanchett. I think she is. It's so hard to be that much of a, like, superstar, like, romantic lead, like, doing what she did. Like, she was so believable. I think Shakespeare in Love is one of the greats.
Yeah.
And I think Gwyneth is canon.
I say she is a great actor because she has a lot of people believing in pseudoscience. So, based off of that, you on the list,
also,
Ma.
Also, you have to always give Gwyneth props for her fun turn on Glee.
Yes.
You have to give her credit for her fun turn on Glee.
Okay, fine. She's good.
Wow.
She's good. I forgot about this one, I think, is
just straight up Vin Diesel.
Good.
No.
No.
Come on.
No.
No.
I'm unwilling to discuss this further.
Vin Diesel, okay. I can't even. That's like not even.
It's like what?
That's who, stupid to even have that on
there. That's stupid, Clover.
Yeah. Come on, Clover. You fucked up on that. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Hater.
I don't hate her, but I don't think she's a good actress.
I think that she is too, like, spunky for me.
Ugh, she just makes me feel
but
icky.
But acting. Yeah. Stay focused. See, this is where the listicle got y'all fucked up. Acting, good or no?
I always see her acting.
You can tell she's acting. Yes,
I don't know. But she's also young, and I like her.
Emma Watson.
Bad. Ugh, sorry, wow. Bad.
I've only seen one Harry Potter movie, so I can't even really tell you.
I'm unwilling to talk shit about Emma Watson because I thought in The Bling Ring she turned it into a fun performance.
Okay.
That was fun.
That's a push.
But Hermione, she's the spirit of Hermione.
Jamie, why do you think it's a no for you?
With the exception of The Bling Ring, I've been so super, super underwhelmed with any other performance she's ever done that isn't Hermione. I feel like the casting director for Harry Potter was amazing.
Killed it, yep.
And truly. You never know with child stars. I feel like, you know, whatever she's, but like dog shit in Beauty and the Beast, whatever that like corny, what was that teen
Curse
movie?
Of Being a Wallflower.
Wasn't good in that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm... As of right now, I feel like maybe she'll change my mind someday once she gets over like the blockbusters.
Mm. She needs a good director, but
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Anthony Mackie.
I think Anthony Mackie's a great actor.
I like him. Yeah, I think he's
I
a
like
good
Anthony
actor.
Mackie.
He's it's a, this is
just
like
didn't like him
one.
As Tupac.
I'm offended that she's picking on Anthony Mackie. Like that feels like a punch down.
Did she see 8 Mile? Well, he was Papa Doc.
There.
Anthony Mackie's good. Also, Anthony you Mackie can never forget him in The Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
he's stunning in that.
He's like not as quite as A-list as everyone else on this list. So
it's
a
weird
that's
one.
Why it feels like a punch cool. down to me. It's like, what are you doing?
I think I'm like, what's
Captain
he trying
America,
to do,
right?
Clover?
Yeah,
no,
he is going to be the new Captain America.
He's good. I like, yeah.
Oh, he is.
He was handed the torch at the end of the movie by old Chris Evans.
By old
spoiler
Chris
alert!
Evans.
Oh, whoops! I don't even
by
know.
Old hot daddy Chris Evans, who could still absolutely break my arm.
What about Jessica Alba? That's a no for me, dog.
I feel like she.
I love her.
I love her. I think she was never given enough of a chance to do a good job and stuff because she was made such a sex symbol.
Objectified.
She was never given a good
off
part.
The rip.
Jessica
off idle
Alba
hands.
Yeah.
Is primarily an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's what we love about her.
Exactly. Who you can sometimes catch her on Tahunga in Studio City.
Yes.
Right across the street from Cafe Aroma.
The next one is what people have gotten the most upset about is Amy Adams.
This is ridiculous.
This is stupid.
All right, just
this
move on. Why? That's bullshit,
it's
Clover.
It's insane to say that.
That's a lock.
And Clover should go to prison.
She's never turned in a bad performance.
She is one of our best.
She's
haunting, you know?
Armie Hammer.
I think he's good at doing that one thing.
Yeah, so good at being white, tall, and handsome.
I don't think that he's a good actor. I think he's very well cast in a lot of movies.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite entertainment reporting pieces of ever was about him. It's called 10 Long Years of Trying to Make Armie Hammer Happen. Mm. It came out during his Call Me By Your Name Oscars buzz. It's by Anne Helen Peterson. It was on BuzzFeed. If you want a deep dive as to why Armie Hammer is not a good actor, but is in fact well cast,
yeah,
it's 5,000
words. He's got
it's really good.
He does his thing well.
Yeah,
but he's also a very nice person.
I've met him too. Yeah. He's really nice.
I was very surprised at how cordial, polite, and like just considerate of a human being he was.
Well, she's media trained.
Nice. Yeah, and I was making him
extremely.
I did a
years.
Video with like Vanity Fair with him where I made him like respond to other talking cars, and he had for a dumb internet video, he was very gracious, and then told a bunch of stories that his publicist didn't want in the video.
I'm sure that
he likes to party.
I'm sure that he's a lovely person. I don't think he's necessarily a good actor.
Okay, Mark Wahlberg.
I hate him.
He can only do one thing well, and that's like, what the fuck, bro?
I no longer like the Boogie Nights defense of Mark Wahlberg.
Also,
I don't
think there's a defense. What is the Boogie Nights defense?
It's
well,
he's Mark
about
Wahlberg
being well cast.
Well, I would say the same thing for Adam Sandler. It's like maybe this is just a Paul Thomas Anderson, like making a good choice thing.
Mm. I think that Adam Sandler makes choices in his acting, whereas Mark Wahlberg is always just
the
doing this.
Guy.
And also, like, you guys, no.
Also, his cryo chamber, 9 a.m., like 3 a.m. workout. No,
I can't.
Gives me anxiety.
Him.
Also, he's like fully a Republican, you guys.
He's horrible.
Kevin
he's
Costner?
I don't know if I have a strong enough opinion on him either way.
This is such another bizarre one to have on the list. Like, what?
I think she's just trying to take a shot at somebody who was a star for, like, older women. You know, like, in the early 90s, everyone was like, Kevin Costner!
I will say this. You know what movie holds up?
Waterworld.
Bodyguard.
Oh.
Ooh.
I watched The Bodyguard recently.
Time.
It will make you cry at the end. And Whitney is such a star.
Yeah. She's great. I would take Kevin Kline over Kevin Costner, but that has no bearing on the list.
Yeah. Kevin Kline, he's a performer, though.
Kevin Kline is a Kevin Kline.
What about
actor down?
Bradley Cooper.
He's definitely a star. I think he's a good actor.
I think Bradley Cooper's a great actor.
I think he's a good, I mean.
He did The Elephant Man on Broadway, y'all.
Yeah. I understand there's like, sometimes people are just like, he's hot, so he can't be a great actor, but unfortunately, that's not true.
The scene in Star is Born when he is apologizing to her, that is good acting.
Also,
I thought he should have won that.
When he started those pills up that he smashed with his boot, that resonated with me as somebody who used to do a lot of pills.
And he makes choices too. Like everything in A Star is Born is a fucking choice.
It's a choice.
I really respect him.
Although the one thing we did say when it came out, that character could have been played by anybody though. I don't think Brad.
I don't know that way,
but I think the Jackson main character, the film could have been the same thing with other people doing that character. Because for me, at least, I thought the real performance that was moving to me was Lady Gaga.
I would agree.
So. I agree that she outperforms him, but I still think that he made choices that Bradley Cooper would not have had to make.
Of course. I'm merely saying that that character could be interchanged and you could still maintain a really good piece. Not to say that movie would be better or worse, but it's not like if you took Lady Gaga out of it, then I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you got.
Not worth
it.
Yeah.
It's this discussion of which I always think when the Oscars roll around, I always think, well, I think the person that wins the Oscar should be the role that no one else could have done it as well.
Right.
And that is why I thought Bradley Cooper was incredible, but with Gaga, I was really in love with that performance because I don't think that we could have had someone else do that like her in terms of believability in becoming a huge star like that, the type of pop star that she became, the sort of like groundedness of where she came from becoming who she was. I think the script gave him more opportunities to be more dynamic and give a better performance, but she was singular in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which why I stood by the Oscar nomination.
And let's move on to one of the great Asian American actresses, Scarlett Johansson.
I think Scarlett Johansson is an amazing actress.
Ooh.
I think, yeah. That's
what's
a
your
hot
favorite
take,
performance
I guess.
Of hers?
I would say Don John.
Wow.
Is my favorite performance of hers.
Wow. Yeah.
And I also think that whenever I run into a gay and they haven't seen Endgame, I'm like, you have to see Endgame for Scarlett Johansson growing out her hair, like drinking and eating sandwiches and having eyes... Her eyes welled up with tears the entire like middle section of
her
the movie.
Her dystopia ombre is yes. wild.
Dystopia ombre should be the title of this episode.
Dystopia ombre. Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, bad.
Bad.
On. But you have to see. But if you haven't seen Ashton Kutcher's career ruining performance as Steve Jobs, I really recommend right. you see. It's one of my favorite bad movies.
Chris Evans. Yeah.
I love Chris Evans. I
love
think he's
him.
Good.
I think he's fine.
I think he also never tries to do something that he can't do.
Ansel yeah. Elgort.
I'm
not convinced.
I don't think
I have
he's
no
a good
opinion
actor.
On this.
I don't like him as a person, and that's like he just seems like an asshole.
Gal Gadot.
No, she can't act.
She can't act,
but she's a superstar.
Yeah, she's a star. Can't act.
Yeah,
no.
Angelina Jolie.
I think Angelina Jolie is a good actress.
She's an Oscar. She's yeah. blowing this.
And
up.
I think that people.
Yeah, but so does 3 6 Mafia.
Yeah. That's true. The but Children Have Forgotten, Girl Interrupted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which the is Children like, Have Forgotten, which is well acted across the board. Brittany Murphy is amazing in mm-hmm. that movie.
Sienna Miller? How do we feel about Sienna Miller?
You know what's so funny? I can't even speak to Sienna Miller because I constantly confuse her with Naomi Watts. So
right.
I have no idea.
Well, I can I tell you too. Right now that I believe they're both good actresses.
Great.
Which Love one it. Was in 21 Grams?
That was Naomi.
Damn.
They're interesting.
There I am.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, thank
They're
you.
They're also like 15 years apart in age, but I cannot tell them apart. It's
yeah.
just. It's,
do you, Sienna?
Yeah.
Okay, finally, I just want to touch on very quickly. So, Clover, you got us.
You got us.
You got us.
That was 20
Hats
minutes.
Wait, was
to
that
you.
The
discussion.
Whole list?
That was
That's
the whole list. List.
Fascinating, yeah. the hodgepodge that she put on that list. This yeah. is insane. Clover
Ending
Hope.
It with Sienna
Clover, will you write a follow-up about it, about just like, what would
I need
what
that
psychology.
Mind. Now yeah. I'm hooked on these listicles, Clover. I need that Clover dope.
I need
Truly
more.
Insane.
Yeah. I'm going to follow her right now.
Okay, finally, just want to touch very quickly on Nicole Curran, who is the wife of Golden State Warriors owner Joe Lacob, or Lacob, mm-hmm. or whatever the fuck you say his name. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't know, she was the woman who made the fucking mistake
yeah.
of leaning cross Beyonce to talk to Jay-Z. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and what
nice.
She describes as merely getting his drink order. Mm-hmm. But based on Beyonce's face and the frequency of which she was talking, I don't know, she was definitely being a little chatty Cathy. And
yeah.
Beyonce was not feeling it.
Yeah.
And her reaction set off the motherfucking beehive
oh,
to
gosh.
The point where her Instagram comments were inundated with bee emojis. You know how they get down.
Yes.
and then she said that she got death threats.
Yeah.
Now, and then on Friday or Thursday night, possibly, Beyonce's publicist had to basically tell the Hive to stand the fuck down. She said, "The On the Run 2 tour was a place of joy, unimaginable entertainment from two of the best performers in the world, and a place of love. Every single day on that tour, I saw love, which is why I also want to speak here to the beautiful Beehive. I know your love runs deep, but that love has to be given to every human. It will bring no joy to the person you love so much if you spew hate in her name. We love you."
In her name. Oh my God. The godlike
that's
invocation.
God. That's
yeah.
She you well, this is what
in
happens.
Her name.
That's how you know you have reached deity levels because people would begin killing in your name.
Yeah. It is insane that this is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Everything about it is psychotic. The fact that Beyonce can sit in a chair, unknowingly be filmed, just having a human reaction,
yes.
and literally what the woman was trying to do was provide a good experience for them. Like, and she had like a human moment of annoyance, and the woman
yeah.
got her life threatened. It is comedy. It is tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
It is Shakespeare.
It is
wow.
history.
It is history.
It is,
it
history.
Is now history.
It is,
and it just shows
genre.
You like where. Like the fucking evolutions of fandoms, you know, where like we have ones now that are so fucking ready, like
well,
based
yeah.
off a look of displeasure from
mm-hmm.
their overlord.
People need to get a life.
Yeah.
It is really crazy.
Yeah.
This is the kind of story where I just look at it and I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm just tired.
But it's so funny. The gif is so funny.
Because her face, if
oh,
I was Beehive, I would have been like, you know what, Nicole Curran, you're getting it.
Can you imagine if Beyonce could harness that into her actual acting?
Ugh.
There,
like the fact that she's capable of that sort of like amount of doing nothing but doing everything.
What
it's like,
she
oh my God,
that,
if only she could do that on purpose.
What if she brought that to Austin Powers 3?
Oh.
God.
Her
God.
Best performance for me.
Yes, gold member. I mean, nothing like it.
Oh, man.
Well, actually, no,
have
that's
you watched
a lie.
That recently?
There,
I
no.
watched oh. it again and I was like,
Is it not hold up?
No.
There's
no Austin Powers film holds up.
Austin Powers movie?
I mean, there's a fuck you and fuck me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
gosh.
Yeah, you can get the fuck out of here. Jesus.
Starring Carrie Ann and Abba.
Yeah. Oh, great choreographer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, where was that performance in Obsessed?
Honestly.
Yes, oh, I forgot about Obsessed.
Also, the fact that they chose a name for her son that she can't say correctly. Like, cow. Right. Like, this woman wouldn't name her son something.
Ooh.
Kyle is the child's name. Like, just put some. Also, like, I don't know. The whole movie's insane. You could tell that they didn't change the script at all to fit, like, who they had cast.
Right.
Like,
they're like, no, that's what the script says. Yeah. Rock it like that. Well, prepare your mentions for coming at Beyonce like that, Matt.
Well, come on, please. I've seen Beyonce 3 times in concert since the beginning. Like,
I saw every On the Run tour.
You can't find a bigger Beyonce fan than me, but we know where her strengths lie. And yes. I will also say she turned out a great performance in Dreamgirls.
I loved her in Dreamgirls,
yeah.
Man.
And she's amazing in Cadillac Records.
There you go.
I appreciate when, like, a superstar is aware of their limitations.
Absolutely.
I think Ariana Grande is another good example of that. She stopped acting because it wasn't her strength.
I also think it's not a mistake that Beyonce didn't do A Star Is Born. Like,
no.
That wasn't what should have happened.
No.
Beyonce, can you imagine Beyonce and Bradley Cooper having chemistry?
No.
I cannot.
No.
Or I think, wasn't it for a hot second going to be Beyonce and Leo?
Really?
Yes. They had talked with Leo about it.
I feel that.
While
Clint
Eastwood was going to direct it years ago, and then
Clint
passed it off to Bradley, and Bradley was going to do it all himself. Famously.
Well, thank God that Clint Eastwood didn't end up directing that.
Well, thank God. And thank God Matt blessed the zeitgeist today.
This was so fun.
Thank
you
so much. Matt, where can people find you, listen to you, follow you, donate to you, your upcoming clone fund?
My Venmo is Matthew-Rogers-1.
Boom.
Yes, I did get the first Matthew Rogers,
wow.
Even though there are millions of us.
Also, I have one with a -1, too. I'm like, why do I need the one? Why can't I just be it?
Yeah. I'm just Jamie
Let me be
Loftus.
It. But you can listen to my podcast, Lost Culturistas.
Hey.
I co-host that with Bowen Yang.
Hey.
And you can follow me at Matt Rogers, though, at Matt Rogers, T-H-O, on Instagram and Twitter. And I welcome you there.
And is there a tweet that you like?
Oh, okay. Yes. I love this prompt. So I actually am going to just shout out my friend, who I think has the best Twitter out there and is a comic genius, and that's Pat Regan. And here, I want to read a couple of his tweets.
Sure.
Here's one. When I swipe at the subway turnstile and it says, please swipe again, I'm like, okay, fine. But when it says, please swipe again at this turnstile, I'm like, okay, now you're being controlling, insecure, manipulative, codependent. Then I love this other tweet. Just told perky 23-year-old who does musical theater that I'm 30, and she said, quote, that's amazing. And one more. The most terror-inducing 6 words in the English language are, quote, just send me what you have, end quote. He's
the
one
best.
Of the funniest people in America.
He's
and
so
my sister.
Mm.
And you should
See,
follow
me,
him.
Baby.
Yeah.
Well,
listen
Jamie.
To Las Culturistas first, and then
yeah, exactly.
Okay,
Jamais.
Cat and Pat get enough press.
What about you? Where can people find you, follow you, support you?
You can find
the Sunny Clone Fund.
Yeah, please donate to the Sunny Clone Fund. I want to really get ahead of it by at least a decade. I'm at Jamie Loftus Help on Twitter. At Jamie Cry Superstar on Instagram. I don't have brand nudity, and that's very brave of me. Listen to Bechdelcast. I plugged Edinburgh Fringe last week, and today I'm going to say I'm going to be in New York City for exactly one night because I fucked up my schedule.
So
if you want to come to ASCAT 3000 on June 16th, I'll be doing the monologue there.
And I might also be in New York just by
I
chance,
know.
Too.
You should just,
wait,
we
wait,
should
when?
Just, yeah.
When?
June
16th.
June 16th. Oh, I'll still be here.
No.
I'm going back to New York on June 20th.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can you move your show?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that UCB is like really willing to move.
Really, yeah,
their
and pay you too,
show.
Right?
Yeah.
they'll do it in the morning if that works for you.
Yeah,
you can
I'm
do
like,
right
actually,
after a level 201 graduation class show.
Can I say one thing that I actually just realized? I'll be able to announce that Las Culturistas is going on a second leg of our tour, and that we're going to be in Atlanta, Chicago, Denver, and. Get this bitch, Orlando, Florida.
Oh
Orlando.
My God. Wait, are you going to
It's
like,
going to be late August.
Are you going to Toy Story Land?
We're
going to
do it all.
Oh my gosh.
And
I'm so
we're
excited.
So excited. So by the time this comes out, which will be when?
Monday.
All right, I think it'll be time. So, hey. So, and if it's not, I'll tell you guys to cut that out. But yeah. Cool. That's exciting.
That's really exciting. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, okay. I don't think so, Honey Live. It's we get 50. You've done it.
Yes.
We get 50 comedians to get on stage and they rant about something in pop culture that they hate for 1 minute each.
It was. It's,
and it's really fun.
At the same
it's
time,
the most fun show in the world.
One after another.
Oh, that'd be great.
It's 100% brain. It's a very 100% brain capacity kind of show.
Yeah. You. It's an inundation.
Yes.
And just for those listeners, you don't have to check your app. This episode was not playing at 1.5 times speed. We are just fucked up off this cold brew.
I'm now using 98% of my brain.
Yep. And mm-hmm. your headphones are actually floating around your head like a ring of Saturn.
Yeah, and my eyes are like milk white. Like I'm now like
you're
and, warging. And that's because my brain told it to be that. Yeah.
Also worth mentioning, Matt Rogers is on the Bechdel cast.
Yeah.
Coming up this week.
Hey.
We're talking about Love, Simon.
Yeah. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. A tweet that I like is from Marcela Arguello. It said, I've gotten DMs snitching on chicks who are completely jacking my whole persona, vibe, etc. And I'd be mad, but if these whack bitches know they're whack, then I'd rather they copy me than a fucking Kardashian or some other lame-ass bitch. I'll always be me. They'll figure themselves out.
Damn, long.
Wisdom.
Love Marcela Wisdom. So
we
much.
Love that. We love that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on, what was that, Instagram. We got, them Facebook fan pages. If you're on there, and look, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the app and whether you listen to them,
fuck it up,
you know what I mean. Do your thing. We also have a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, where we post that and the song we write out on. What's the song we're gonna write out on?
Miles, what's the song we're gonna write out on?
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this is a track from The Frighteners, and it's a dub version of their track, Which Way, because let's just start off on some dub music, you know, some deep bass, and get your mind going, because my brain is on fucking 100,000% right now.
Now return to your discussions about what you thought of the season premiere of Big Little Lies.
Exactly. Now return to your discussion, water cooler, chat engaged. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow, because it's Daily Show. See ya, bye.
Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.